Welcome to Epiphany Fellowship's podcast, where our goal is to see people everywhere show off the glory of Christ in every area of life. We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by today's message and will allow the Word of God to dwell in you richly.
If you can, open your Bibles to Judges, the sixth chapter. We'll read a few of these verses, not 11 through 30. We're going to be preaching 11 through 30, but they're going to put up what we're supposed to read. We want to start at verse 11. 1, 2, 3, read. All right, let's start over. Y'all, I'll start off with you. 1, 2, 3, read. The angel of the Lord came, and he sat under the oak that was at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite. Yeah. Amen. In our series, continuing through Culture Shift, I want to insert this sermon, How to Break Strongholds. How to break strongholds. Lord, breaking free from strongholds. Lord, we thank you that you are amazing. And your mercy, it endures forever. God, I pray today that you would blow fresh wind in this place. I'm praying that your people won't be fearful today, but that they would open up places in their life that need reconstruction. The things in their life that plague them, Lord God, I'm believing over them today for absolute freedom, God. Absolute freedom. I believe it over them that you would cover them to break those things and the ties that bind. Lord, let the words of my mouth be healthy, life-giving, and bondage-breaking, biblical, Christ-centered, and spirit-empowered. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody agree with that said? Amen. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Breaking free from strongholds. A few years ago, my wife and I, at our house, our house will be 100 years old, I think this year or in a couple years. And so it's an older house, and there was a water leak on the front of our house. And so we thought that it was either a roofing issue or it was our gutters had gotten filled, and we needed to get those things taken care of. Well, as we began to get people to look at it, they couldn't find the source of it. They said you're going to have to get somebody else out here to look not on the outside of the house but on the inside of the house. And I was like, uh-oh. And so the plumber came over and he opened up our wall, and come to find out, our sewage line had broken and was leaking, and it had caused black mold in our walls. And so we were trying to treat an internal problem with external tools. And so someone had to come out and begin to dig into what was going on in order to see that, yeah, these symptoms on the outside are bad, but it's really worse than you know on the inside. So he had to tear the walls down, which was driving me nuts and crazy. But when they found the issue, they could remedy it. Many of us in our lives today are using external tools for internal issues. God loves you enough to where he wants to deal with everything in your life that's broken. And he don't care how you fix yourself up. He don't care what kind of trip you go on. You can't relax, vacation, and drink your way out of some of the stuff you're dealing with. You're going to have to get spiritual surgery on your life. And you're going to have to take your growth seriously. You're going to have to take your mental health seriously. You're going to have to take your relationships. You got to be, if your life is going to be seriously taken seriously, you have to deal with the strongholds that are in your life. Interestingly enough, over in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, Paul writes, interestingly here, from verse 3 to verse 6, he says, "For although we live in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh." Verse 4, "Since the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds." Underline strongholds. Verse 5, "We demolish arguments." We demolish all arguments. "We demolish arguments and every proud thing that is raised against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought," somebody say every thought,
"every thought
captive to obey Christ, and we are ready to punish any disobedience once your obedience is complete." Interestingly enough, Paul talks about the word stronghold. A stronghold usually was something that was used to barricade something in. A stronghold was, in the Bible, a stronghold can be a positive word and it can be a negative word. It's a positive word when it has to deal with God, listen, being a strong tower or a place of safety. In other words, away from the enemy's hits. However, a stronghold is negative when it has to do with bondage that you have. And every one of us, and including me, under the sound of my voice, have had or do have strongholds. Now the question is, what is a stronghold? Now the way Paul explains this, and this is why I'm going to bring this message up every few years, because I want us to deal with this on a regular basis, because we have to get a stronghold checkup. And so, interestingly enough, in this passage, Paul didn't use the sin, the word sin once. He calls it a stronghold, because many of us think the sin that we commit is the stronghold. That's not the stronghold. The stronghold is the mindset. Look, Paul says. He says, "We demolish arguments and every proud thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God." Where does knowledge take place? In the mind. That means that you can be a Christian and function in areas of your life like an unbeliever. In other words, what the enemy likes to do is the enemy likes to plant doubt in different areas of your life, or create narratives about God that isn't true that you believe and you operate in. Are you hearing me today? And so in our lives, the enemy loves to implant stuff
in your mind to cause you to doubt God, to not believe God, and not to believe that God has your best interest at heart. What is a stronghold then, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. A stronghold is a mindset, value system, or thought process that hinders your growth. Let me say it again. Put the definition up there, please. A stronghold is a mindset, value system, or thought process that hinders your growth, the growth of others, and you exalting Jesus above everything in your life. So that mindset can, it'll affect different areas of your life. And we're going to see in a second what some of those mindsets can be. Because one of the things that the enemy loves to do is to make you doubt God's love for you, to doubt God's motives about you, and his intentions for you. And what happens when you doubt that, what will begin to happen is strongholds will get rooted. I remember, and I'm going to bring this back later. A few years ago, I wanted to quit. I wanted to quit, leave Philly, go south, right? Just go do something else. But my desire for abandonment was related to my belief that God couldn't sustain me. Many of us, our stronghold isn't the thing that we want to do or that we've done. It's the mindset behind it. When someone is sexually promiscuous, the sin is the sexual promiscuity, but the stronghold isn't the promiscuity. It's the mindset that pushes you to promiscuity. Like somebody say, well, God, look, it's been a minute, and it don't seem like you care that I want companionship. So since you don't say this to him, but that the mindset's in there saying it to him. And what ends up happening is you think because God didn't come through that you have a license to do what you want to do. But the license is the strong. But you don't know when you don't believe that God has your best interest at heart, And he won't provide what's needed to make sure that you have companionship and all those different things. A stronghold doesn't just cause that one sin. It pervades and it invades into different areas of your life where you'll begin to distrust God. I remember when my accountant told me I owed $7,000 in taxes. And he was like, and I hadn't owed in, we hadn't owed in years. He was like, I had a decision to make. Do I believe God's going to provide? Because he said, I could just sign this off and it'll make it like this never existed. And it's like the old Tom and Jerry cartoon. Two things came up on my shoulder. You know, and one was like, man, go ahead, bro. That $7,000 ain't going to never find out about it. Those guys, oh, but how are you going to live with the Holy Spirit, Eric? You know he's going to convict you. You know you're not going to get away with it. You ever had that experience in your life where you have some decisions to make? Every sin decision is a stronghold mindset. So let's go to our case study. So in our case study over in Judges 6, we see now that we know that a stronghold is a mindset. Somebody say mindset. That's important that you know it's a mindset. And so now we're coming to a passage that's dealing with actual specific stronghold issues. And so in the book of Judges, it says in Judges 17:6 that they did what was right in their own eyes. In other words, nobody paid attention to what God said. Your truth is your truth and my truth is my truth. Forget about God's truth. Right? That was bars, right? So one of the things that ends up happening, right, is that when there's a decrease in society of a fear of God, many times it can trickle into the vicinity of the people of God. And so that's what happened in this passage. And so in this passage, we see Gideon, who is one of the judges, what God uses to deliver Israel from their enemies in the season of repentance before they go back into the season of sin. So now we're here, and I got one point in this sermon and one point only. If you're going to break free from strongholds, you need divine intervention. You got to know that you need divine intervention, a.k.a. you need an encounter with God. Now look at what the text says. Look at what the text says. It says in verse 11, the angel of the Lord came. I like that because God went towards Gideon. Gideon didn't go towards God. Oh, y'all missed that. Listen, we think when we're in our stronghold that God won't come see about us. But God loves you even when you're bound. And what happens is God makes the trip towards Gideon. And when God makes the trip towards Gideon, that means he's reaching out to him, right? And he said that he sat under the oak that was at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite. His son Gideon was threshing wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. Now, what's crazy about this is Gideon is in a stronghold, functioning in his stronghold with the rest of the people of God, and God comes after him. Your stronghold is not enough to keep God away from you. God loves you enough that even while you're bound, that he will come after you no matter how far you have gone. Some of you have strongholds you're embarrassed of. And listen, God is invisible to him right now. He can't see him. God is standing there staring at him while he's doing what he shouldn't be doing. We're going to see why he shouldn't be doing what he's doing because of what he was doing and how bound he was. But God is standing there watching him, not in disgust to destroy him, but with a passion to rescue him. When you're yet in your stronghold, God will show up in your stronghold and because he's wanting to pull you out of where you are so that you won't be bound in your mess forever. And what I like about this is it says Gideon was beating wheat in the wine press. Now that should alarm you, right? That should put off some alarms because wheat was supposed to be thrown out at the threshing floor and the wheat was supposed to separate from the tares. However, he's in the wine press where you're supposed to step on the grapes and or you have a pressing mechanism that presses the grapes down so that the wine will come, the grape juice will come down so that they can gather it to ferment it. So what he did was he turned something that was supposed to function one way into something else because he was fearful of the Midianites, because if he went out through the threshing floor, they would see him. And so therefore, because of his bondage of his stronghold, he had to switch things in his life and begin making new normals that wasn't normal. Oh, okay, let me see if I can make it plain. Because when you're in a stronghold, you don't realize that you adjust things in your life that you would have never put up with. And those things that you would have never put up in, they become normal things for you, but you don't even realize how abnormal it is because of how dark your life has come, how much bondage you are in, and how you can't see. You're looking like you can't even see it. You ever got delivered from something and you look back and you say, I can't believe I let myself get to that point. I can't believe I let things get that bad. I can't believe I let that person manipulate me. I couldn't believe that I didn't recognize that that was abuse. Oh, y'all not hearing me today. Because deliverance opens your eyes to so many things that your eyes was closed to at first. Let's see if I can make it plain. Me and my wife used to watch this show called Hoarders. And, this show, you know, people would have all types of things that they would hoard, and put in their house. And so the hoarding people went to this woman's house and knocked. Now, in her house, literally trash and mess was piled up about 4 feet high. She had like 70 cats. So you know what was going on in that trash. So they knock on the door, clunk, clunk, clunk. And they open the door and back up. They're like, oh my gosh. And it was such a stench of the fecal matter and mess that was in the house. The strange thing, though, is the woman came to the door chilling like nothing was wrong. She was standing there like this. How y'all doing? And they're like this, like trying to get their wits about them because of how messed up things are in the house. And they are confused at how she didn't notice the condition that that house was in. And the reason why she didn't know the condition that the house was in is because she had been in that condition for so long, her senses got used to the smell as being normal. In your life, when you're dealing with deep dysfunction, mess becomes normal. It's like when you go out in Lancaster, we call it Amish country, right? And you go out there, first thing when you get out of the car, you smell the horse ministry and the cows and everything. You smell it, you're like, woo! But if you stay there for 2 hours, you don't notice it anymore because you adjust to the mess. You got to be careful when you get in a stronghold because you'll begin to adjust to the mess. And I'm believing today that you are going to open your eyes to the mess that you've allowed yourself to get into. And that God is going to do something today in your life to throw tear gas in your situation. To have you come up out of there and say, God, I thank you that I finally can see. God, I thank you that you're not going to let me stay here forever. God, thank you for coming to rescue me. If it had not been for you, God, I would have been staying there and things would have got worse. God, thank you for coming to get me. Thank you for coming to get me. And so, as he's beating wheat under the wine press, it said, and the Lord appeared to him. So God uncloaked himself. And he said, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor, or valiant warrior. Now, this is strange. This is super duper strange. Because it said he was hiding from the Midianites. So he's hiding from all the smoke. He don't want no smoke at all, right? But God doesn't come in and call him how he was acting. Oh, y'all don't hear me today. God calls him based on his assignment, not his function right now. Oh, y'all don't hear me today. When he says valiant warrior, the Hebrew idiom is eshechayil, which means mighty man of valor. That means that God, in our terms translated, It would be the equivalent of Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines. They're special ops teams, the Rangers, Black Ops. You feel me? Navy SEALs. You know what I'm saying? Like you got to understand, 15 of them are just going to a spot with 1,000 people, going like this. Watch your six. 12 o'clock. All right. And they doing like that. They going. Bama's just dropping left and right. And it's just 15 of them. God calls him that type of warrior. Not a general soldier, but a special ops dude. Like, you remember Joab? Joab was Dave's boy. Dave coming out of the city, David. And dude start cursing David. Cursing David. And, you know, Joab was, I mean, you got to understand, his generals were gangsters. Read your Bible. I'm telling you. Joab was about every kind of smoke that was available. He said, and David, they walking. He said, Dave, man, he unsheathed it. So he said, look, Dave, what you need? What you need? I'll cut his head off, have it at your ankles in 2 seconds. What you need? And David had to hold him back. You feel me? That's the type of man that God is calling Gideon. God, even in your stronghold, sees what you can be. If you are free, God wants you to dream your way out of your stronghold. Wish I had some help right there. In other words, I know I'm a mess right now, but God, if I let you get a hold of me like you couldn't get a hold of me, all of this will be shifted. And y'all know what it is. I mean, God is not a talent scout. He's a talentless scout. God does not need you to be gifted to be used. Oh, y'all not hearing me today. He doesn't go out looking for somebody to be used. He gets no glory out of that. Like, if we gonna go down to the if God the Father, God the Son go out to the basketball court, they want to play full court, and they out dribbling the ball. Two people over there, they choose them and put them on their team, and the people that's looking at them like, man, they finna lose. It's make it take it. So we gonna get them on the court, and we gonna smash them. But little do they know is that God doesn't scout out people with talent and who have the ability to play the game. Because God has the ability to give gain. He doesn't look for talents and gifts. He gives them. So you can come to him as you are, just as you are, and he'll do more in your life. Why? Because when people see that God has gotten to you, they'll know that it was nobody but the Lord. Listen, God loves to oversaturate things, to make it like it has to be him. That's how he has to set it up. Your deliverance has to give him glory. That's why when the prophets of Baal were out there, Elijah knew how God worked. That's why he said, more water. Dig a trench. More water. More water. More water. And they looking at him like, what is he doing? He's messing up the ability for God to accept the sacrifice and burn it, because surely he can't burn through water. He said, more water, more water. Then he knelt down and prayed, oh, Lord God of Abraham. A simple prayer. He didn't say, ah, he didn't do nothing. Just a simple prayer. And heaven opened up and fire came down and consumed the platform and consumed the prophets. Why? Because God loves it when the odds are against you. God loves when people don't think he can do something, because it gotta be a situation where you say, is anything too hard? Nothing's too hard. Even your bondage. I know you're locked up and you're like, God, I don't know how this is going to work. And God said, if you bring it to me, I will. I mean, God, listen, Jesus picked bad. He had the worst squad in history. His squad was religious skeptics, a shady businessman, Hebrew fundamentalist, a thieving tax collector, thief, thugs, shady government worker, radical Jews, mama's boy, spoiled rich kids, a demon-possessed prostitute, a heel outcast, aristocrats, legalist, licentious people, all into one crew, and these were going to be people that shake up the world. God took a woman who was a demon-possessed prostitute, and she was the first one to see him get up from the grave. She was the first person to share the gospel. Was a demon possessed, a formerly demon possessed prostitute that God changed and now is heralding his gospel through. God is a miraculous changer. You better trust in the fact that God is able to move in your life. Even where you are right now, it's not a mistake. God is yet at work. Now look what it says, right? So Gideon responds when he calls him valiant warrior. He said, please, my Lord. He's like, man, please. Some calling me some kind of warrior. He said, if the Lord, he don't even know it's God. It's funny. God is in front of him. He don't know it's God. He doesn't recognize him. If the Lord is with us, why has all this happened? And where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about? And they say, hasn't the Lord brought us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to Midian. It's funny how we can get ourselves in bondage and blame God for it. It's your fault, bro. It's not God's fault. But interestingly enough, this is his stronghold. The Lord has abandoned us. When you believe God has abandoned you, then you don't believe that there's any law for you. So you'll do whatever you want to do. And I like God. He ignored him. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and deliver Israel from the grasp of Midian. I'm sending you. So he gave his strongholds about God towards God. But we don't only have strongholds or mindsets towards God, we also have ones towards ourselves. Look at what he says. He says, please, Lord, how can I deliver Israel? Look at what he says. My family is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's family. In other words, he not only had strongholds towards God, he had strongholds towards himself. So what you think about yourself can affect your ability to come out of your own bondage. And so his bondage was two ways. His bondage was towards God. His bondage was towards himself. What God isn't and what he isn't, right? But God never lets that get in the way of him showing up in our lives and doing powerful things. And look what God says. He said, but I will be with you. And the Lord said to him, you will strike Midian down as if it were like one man. So God now encourages him that he is going to bring Israel out of this bondage. And I like this because of the beauty of the text. So Gideon ends up, which is beautiful here, Gideon ends up going and realizing that this is God, and then he has a whole meal and has a fit, and he's blown away that it's God. But God's like, all right, I'm here, and I'm glad you're happy that I'm here, but I got you're going to have to get this work done. And what's the work God wanted him to get done? God wanted him to participate in his deliverance. In order to be delivered, you have to participate. God is not going to just deliver you because he has to strengthen you in the process of you getting delivered. Okay, look at verse 25. He says, take your father's bull and a second bull, 7 years old, then tear down the altar of Baal that belongs to your father and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. So what do we see here? We see him having to go to the place of origin of the stronghold to tear it down. In other words, it was in his daddy's house. His daddy's house was a temple shrine for the deep place of where the mess was. So he had to go to his daddy's house to tear it down. Now that was interesting. The word pull down means to pull from its root. In other words, you have to get to the root of things. What is the root of your stronghold today? Was it something that happened long ago? Was it with a loss that you experienced? Was it some challenges that you... What is the origin of that stronghold? You have to go back and trace that back to its origin. But what I like about what God did is he told him to tear it down, but then he tells him to do something in replacement of it. He says, build a well-constructed altar. In other words, I don't want you to just put any old thing up there. I want you to build something solid to me, to the Lord. So how do we do this? What does this look like practically in our life? We have to replace the devil's mindset with God's mindset. Okay, let me see if I can make a plan. Remember I told y'all I wanted to give up a few years ago. And God said, stop thinking I can't sustain you. I want you to uproot that now and remove that I can't take care of you and sustain you through this hard season. And I wept before the Lord. And God said, now you have to build an altar in that place. So now you need to get scriptures planted in your mind where the lies of the enemy were planted. So when I pulled up my ability to be sustained by God and started believing that he was able to sustain me, I went and got some verses. I went to be ye steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your work is not in vain. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap a harvest if you do not faint. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Count it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect work in you. And if anyone lacks wisdom, let them ask of God who gives liberally. Add to your faith moral excellence. Moral excellence, knowledge. Knowledge, self-control. Self-control, steadfastness. Steadfastness, godliness. Godliness, brotherly kindness. And brotherly kindness, love. If these qualities are yours and are increasing, you will never stumble. You better go get you some Bible. Every time I feel like quitting, I just go to the altars. What do you need to build in your life? Listen, because God said, if you don't put something in the place of it, it'll resurrect itself right back up again. And so the enemy wants, and listen, and you gotta use your armor. Y'all ain't hearing me. Eric, I know this season is hard. You need to give up. Be steadfast and movable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your work in the Lord is not in vain. Eric, go commit adultery on your life, your wife. Your body was bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your mortal body. Flee immorality and pursue the relationship with those who call upon the name of the Lord with a pure heart. Eric, you did that on your own, didn't you? God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Eric, go ahead and cheat on your taxes, and my God will supply all your needs according to your riches in glory. Eric, you don't have to make no sacrifices. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, to present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. You better get you some Bible to fight the enemy with so that you can tear down and destroy every stronghold in your life. God hates you when you're at your messiest point. God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Although you are far off, you have been brought near. We can keep going, devil, or you can get out of here. Show that joker you for all the smoke. Listen, Jesus, that's how Jesus fought in the wilderness. He was trying to implant strongholds in Jesus. And did Jesus wave a magic wand? No, he used the word of God. And that's what you have to do. You have to have in your arsenal truth. Because the enemy going to try even scripture to manipulate, like he did Jesus, to manipulate scripture. But the beautiful thing about being free is you free. Oh, y'all ain't going to talk about it. The beautiful thing is he whom the Son sets free. Listen, you don't realize it. When you got saved, you were as free as you were going to be. You're right now, even though you're in a stronghold, you're free. You just got to re-realize it. Listen, everything that God gives you as salvation is at your disposal right now. The question is, are you going to use it? That's the question. The question isn't, did God give? Because the Bible says he's giving you everything you need for life and godliness. So that means God has changed your operating system. But what I like about this is I want you to know that when you get free. Let me read it first. Look at verse 28. I got to close. It says, when the men of the city got up in the morning, they found Baal's altar torn down. Uh-oh. The Asherah pole beside it cut down, and the second bull offered on the altar that had been built. They said to each other, who did this? After they made a thorough investigation, they said, Gideon, son of Joash, did it. Then the men of the city said to Joash, bring out your son, he must die. Let me tell you something. When you get free, everybody not going to be happy. Y'all don't hear me. Because some people's livelihood depends on you being bound. So when you get free, they're going to react with verbal attacks So now we save now, huh? So you're trying to be a real Christian. You weren't being a real Christian the other day. You said, well, don't worry about what I was the other day, because yesterday is yesterday. God has changed my life today. And don't try to hold me to, because God said he's thrown my sin as far as the east is from the west. Matter of fact, you know what? I'm finna throw you as far as the east is from the west. Get up. Some people are not for you. Y'all ain't hearing me. They're only for you as long as you're for what they're for. I'm telling you. And when you're not for what they're for anymore, they're not for you, because they weren't for you. They were for what you were for, what you had in common, when y'all were bound together. And you got to tell them, I got a role. You can join me if you want. But if you join me, you got to join me in freedom, not bondage. Ain't nobody going to hear me right there. I don't know who I'm talking to under the sound of my voice, but this is your day of deliverance. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but you're going to come out of it today. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but your life is about to take a culture shift today. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but some altars are getting torn down right now today. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but somebody's going to implant some scripture in their life. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but God has better for you. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but a change is coming. It's going to happen. It's got to happen. And you have to be tired of being tired. Because God got so much for your beautiful life that you're living below yourself in value. You don't realize it. And when you come out of it, listen, God is going to so free you. Listen, I don't speak stuff into existence. I'm just announcing what the word already says. So today I'm speaking over you right now that you're going to be free. I'm speaking over you now that you're going to break everything down in your life that's inhibiting you from the will of God. I speak over you right now in the mighty name of Jesus that it ends today, that it's over today, that it's rebuked today, that it's destroyed today, that it's demolished today, that it's removed today. Today. I loose healing in this room. I loose a warrior spirit in this room. I loose people putting on their armor today. I loose boldness and courage and commitment and strength and steadfastness and perseverance and peace. I loose it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. In this place today. Yeah, God, we're believing that you are going to break. Oh, I see the walls coming down in this place. I see the walls. I see in the spirit people with sledgehammers in their hand, and they're knocking down the wall. I see somebody saying, this is it, God. This is it, God. This is it, God. This is it, God. My time is now. I can hear somebody saying, God, my deliverance is nigh today. I hear somebody say, never again. Never again. Never again. You have me now, God. Every head bow and every eye closed.
Hello, this is Dr. Eric Mason, founder and pastor of Epiphany Fellowship. Thank you for tuning in today. Hopefully the word of God was a blessing to you. Also, if you want to help us build the kingdom from Philly and beyond, particularly in inner cities, partner with us today. And if you don't know Jesus as Savior, based on his death, burial, and resurrection, place your confidence in him and go from spiritual death to spiritual life. Tune in next time so we can see you go from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity. God bless you. Take care. We love you.